This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Hey, pet pals, welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest today is a major advocate for rescue dogs. Oh, and by the way, she also definitely loves her own two-legged family. But life is and wasn't always easy. You know, she, like us, and faced a lot of challenges. So, guess what she did? She decided to write a book about it. And now, she is ready to share in hopes of helping other people and rescue dogs. So, at this time, please welcome to our show the author of a just-released book. I love the title. Mom Loves the Dogs More. Please welcome the talented Cindy Ocheck. Welcome, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Arden. I couldn't have said it better or enunciated it the way you did. You must have either heard that in your past or you said that to your own parents. That's exactly how it was said to me. But I am absolutely delighted to be on the show. When I was introduced to your podcast over a year ago, I've been listening to episodes, and wow, it's just amazing the breadth of the speakers, the topics that they have, their creativity, as well as their ability to inspire and to help people and pets. And kudos to you. I'm a solopreneur, and being a small business owner, to stick with it for all the years that you have is quite impressive.
Well, I thank both of you, Pet Dogs. Hey, pet pals, we're going to dive into who the heck is Cindy Ocheck and why you got to get your paws on her book, Mom Loves the Dogs More. And you got to say it with kind of a little bit of a tone. But we got to take a quick break so you all know the drill. We're going to sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am honored and delighted to have a gal on the show who really knows dogs, and she's a mom. She's a wife. You put that all together, and that is triple talent and triple challenge. So we're going to back up the bus a little bit, Cindy Ocheck, and give people a little bit of background on you. You hail from St. Paul, Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes?
Land of 10,000 lakes, and there are over 12,000 of them.
Have you seen how many of those have you actually been
to? Maybe 100, maybe 100. It's not 10,000.
And it can get cold there. So do you actually have triple pane windows?
We have double pane windows.
Okay. Okay. Because I've been there with some friends and they're very excited because they have triple pane windows.
That's pretty impressive to be that dedicated to energy efficiency. I cheer to them.
Well, what I like about you, Cindy, you are a solopreneur, not Manurepreneur. We just want to get that all cleared up. So you've been going without the W-2 net for many, many years. And what is it that has inspired you? Because after the show, I really want people to go to your blog. It's called Like People, Like Pets. And your website is Cindy O. Writes, because your last name is too hard to spell. You have way too many fun letters in there. Go ahead, spell your last name, because it's kind of cool.
Okay, it's O-J-C-Z-Y-K. And if you are a hockey fan, you will see Eddie Olczyk. And Eddie Olczyk shows up on Amazon next to me.
You score!
So it is nice to actually see his face up there. And hockey fans can pronounce my last name. But it's actually a Polish background. And in Polish, the J is a Y pronunciation. So in Poland, it's Ojciech. But my father-in-law started marking everything of his with an O and a check mark behind it.
Oh, that's clever.
To make it easy to find. And we've just gone by Ojciech since then.
Okay. So you do a lot in the world. You have the podcast. You have your website. You're an accomplished author. You're a member of the Dog Writers Association, but something's been with you for almost three decades. You had me at woof. What have you been doing for almost 30 years, Cindy?
From the fostering and rescuing side. Rescuing started with my very first dog that I found during senior week of college.
Wow.
Leading up to graduation, and he was just walking across the campus. And back then I lived on campus in a dorm. So we went to the cafeteria, and I'm walking across this cafeteria of off across the quad of different people out playing frisbee and laying in the sunshine because people are slowly getting done with their exams. And I'm walking across, and there's this beautiful furry headed dog. And I, of course, it's almost like today's therapy dogs. There he was. I stopped to pet him. And the next thing I know, he's in line with me in the cafeteria. So he followed me into the cafeteria. I brought him back out. I petted his head, went back with my friends. And then later that day, I was in the weight room and I went to put a set of dumbbells back on the rack. And I look in the mirror and there he is in the weight room all the way across campus. I thought, all right, we got to figure this out. He didn't have a collar. Beautiful kind of Keese Hound type dog.
Was he like a medium 30, 50 pound dog?
Okay. Yep. But I lived in a dorm. A friend of mine in the weight room said, well, I'll take him if you start working on finding where he belongs. And we worked with the shelters and the animal control. He stayed there for the week until graduation. And then I was living in town at that time or moving into town. And he then became mine.
What's his name? What was his name?
Snuka.
Okay. So You got the fostering adoption bug right there, didn't you?
Well, I did. We kept working at trying to find him a home. And he loved me right away. He was home. As I could put him out in the front yard and he would never wander.
Wow.
Could go by, dogs could go by, and he was just mine. And we just became walking buddies. And after a month, the animal control said, you either surrender him to us or you keep him. And he became buddies, yes.
So you have a double reason for writing this book, Mom Loves the Dogs More. So tee us up. You've got now two grown daughters, but what was the spark, the inspiration for you to say, I need to write this down. I need to share this.
Well, we'll back up because I didn't write this book originally. The book that you ended up seeing and have been reading was something else before. So we started fostering.
Okay.
And I found when I was fostering that I would say I'm a foster and people would say, oh, I can never do that. I could never give them up. And I thought that if I wrote the most inspiring book, then we would get all these people to foster. So I wrote a book on fostering and I used our foster dogs as the examples of how to foster, how to do this, how to do that, and included their stories. And I gave myself a year to write this book and I did it. That was the thing. Just sit down and do the darn thing and see if you can do it. First of all, before saying I'm going to write a book, is write the book and then you've proven to yourself you can do it. when I sent it out to beta readers, who are those early readers that you just want some surface level feedback, they loved the dog stories, but they felt it was just too much of a niche and I needed to expand it. Well, then it took me a while to figure out what that arc was going to be to make this a book that would be exciting to other people to read, the masses to read. When I figured out what that was, which was the story of my family alongside these foster dogs, I had to back that up and say to the kids, I'm going to write this story and you get to say yay or nay.
Well, good.
Say, if you say no, I'll do something else. I will think of something else and how to do it. So that's pretty much how it went. But that story and what you're reading really began when our dog died. We had a family dog. Kids are moving into teens and tweens at that point, and there's a lot of emotion, a lot of drama happening, and then the dog dies. And that triggered the tsunami of emotions we had never seen in the house before.
And what was your dog's name? Tell people quickly.
That was Sierra. Sierra is the, not the spitting image of Snuka, but very similar of Keyshound. And we ended up adopting her because she looked so much like Snuka and loved his personality. And in the end, loved her personality. And she died unexpectedly. We were not totally unaware that she was had anything. And she pretty much died during 4th of July weekend during fireworks.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
They believe that she had a heart attack.
Wow. And how old, and what are your daughter's names? How old were they at the time?
So Mia was 11 and Anna was 14. And we were all just shaken to the core over this. But we also, that it tripped something that, I mean, things happen as they're growing up. You just think, oh, that's their personality. That's their quirk. But then all of a sudden, this kind of tsunami of emotions came out and it really started me thinking that this is not, something's not quite right. I just didn't know what that was or even where to even begin thinking about what is not right. But what I did know was I didn't like the feeling in the house, that feeling of grief. And I figured, well, I'm going to, let's get a new dog. We'll patch this grief by filling it with a new dog. And then we started talking about the new dog and nobody could agree. My husband, my kids and me, you know, looking at the fact that eventually they're going to move on and we're going to still have this dog. And what is the dog I want? What is the dog?
Oh, my gosh.
So none of us were agreeing. And then it became that as those the fighting and intensity kept rising in the house, I just kept having this fear of what if I make the wrong decision? What if I decide on this dog, what if one daughter thinks that my decision favors the other daughter?
Oh my gosh, that is so, man, there's so much in it. You aren't playing checkers, Cindy. You're playing chess on the pro level, aren't you? With all these factors.
With all the factors and just that parenting, moving into that chaotic adolescent stage where you're a different, you need to become a different type of parent, but you don't really know how or what, or so you just keep doing the same things that you do. And a friend of mine then recommended, well, why don't you foster? You know, that way you're not making any decisions.
Ah, smart friend. Ah, nice friend. Yes, yes, yes. What did you think when you heard that? I mean, you know what a foster is, but you know, we get caught up in life and then somebody just says something simple and profound.
Well, I don't even really think back then I knew a lot about fostering. I didn't know anybody that fostered.
Okay.
So she was telling me that she knew this person that fostered pregnant cats and they would help the mom until the babies were about 8 weeks old. And then another foster took those babies because then they had to get their shots and spayed and all that. And then she'd get the next mom and the kids then, her kids got to see the miracle of birth.
Oh, wow.
They didn't have this long-term commitment to the cat. They got to do their thing and then take out fostering again. So when she explained all that to me, I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, we're going to have this parade of dogs. You know, we love dogs. Dogs are all have been part of our life and everything's going to be perfect, right? So we get the first dog, Poet. He's a little 10-pound dog. And again, you know, I didn't say anything to Linda, who was the co-founder of Second Chance Animal Rescue. She does the dog side, Nancy does the cat side, and Linda had done the onboarding of us. But I didn't say, oh, by the way, Mia likes little dogs and Anna likes big dogs. It's who needs a home?
And let me hit pause for a minute, because I do want you to do a little shout out about Second Chance, because it's a pretty long running big rescue group in Minnesota, right?
It is. It's one of the oldest, and I want to say 32, 33 years now.
It's called Second Chance.
Second Chance Animal Rescue. And I know there are other Second Chance Animal Rescues, so you have to say Second Chance Animal Rescue, Minnesota.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so, all right, so here comes Poet. What's going on?
So Poet is a little Papillon mix. He looks like a little Jersey calf, black and white blotches. The big tufts of fur coming out of the ears and the feathery tail. And he has eyes for Mia. And she has eyes for him because, of course, she wanted the pocket dog. She wanted the small dog. This dog had no eyes for anybody else in our family, and he was glued to her. He was a tough first dog to have as a foster.
Okay.
What started happening is then my other daughter was like, how come she gets her wish first? Because they're typical teenagers, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, eventually, and Poet was a difficult, he was 3 years old when he came to us, unneutered, so he got neutered, not house trained, and at three, he was just a difficult dog to try and get to learn how to use outside versus inside. So we had some struggles with Poet that. By the time I felt we were comfortable making progress, we're going to put him up for adoption. And then it all falls apart again, because now I haven't let them or given them the opportunity to heal properly with their grief from Sierra's death. Now I'm asking them to give up this dog.
Oh my gosh. Mom, you didn't even know you were causing a big old mess, did you?
Well, and that's the part about fostering. I wasn't really grabbing my head around. I was thinking, oh, we're going to adopt these dogs out. We're going to check this list, because we had committed to... We're going to foster six dogs. So I was going for the foster win, which is to find them a new home, without realizing that there is a reality to fostering, and that is there's a loss. It's a happy loss.
Thank you for saying that, because all of the dogs and cats in my home have come from the streets or from shelters or from foster groups, and it's a happy loss. But keep going. You hit it.
It's a happy loss, but I think that's also one of the reasons why we don't have as many people fostering, because loss is loss and loss is grief. And I have a strong belief that many people don't know how to grieve properly.
Yeah.
And avoid it at all cost.
Wow.
And one of the things we did learn through this whole fostering process is how to grieve. Grief is just part of what's going to happen in... You just never know when it's going to happen and under what circumstances. In this first situation with Poet, I could not face those kids going through this grief again. So we ended up adopting him. Now, as you've probably heard the term foster failure, and that is where the foster home adopts their own foster dog into their become a resident
right.
pet.
You know what I do? I guess I'm more positive. I call it foster success, because you... realize this is a good fit for your family, and the home that that dog needs is right here. So I call them foster successes. What do you think?
I like that. I like
it. Because otherwise people are always like looking down and going, I'm a foster failure. No, pick your head up. This dog was meant to be for you. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, because we got to talk a little bit more about her book, Mom Loves the Dog More, with Cindy Ocheck, after we take this break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages. Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. I'm with Arden Moore on the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. So please listen.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Oh Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. There's a lot to fostering, folks, a lot. It's not just helping out a pet in need. I mean, you go on any next door in your neighborhood and you will hear and see all the pets that are either lost, abandoned. I live in Dallas, and that is not a great area because all of our fosters and homeless dogs seem to make their way up to your place in Minnesota. And my sister and her husband in Northwest Indiana, they do fostering. So there is kind of a network, but I think your book is really needed right now because the joy, the surface joy of providing security and food and love to a pet that in the hopes of them getting a permanent home is such a great, but it does upend the home. And I think your book, you know, Mom Loves the Dogs More, I think this is really the first book I've been aware of that it is talking about what really happens, the ugly side too. And I'm not trying to be mean, but the reality, you bring any sentient being into your home, it's going to make an impact on everyone.
You got it. You've hit the nail on the head. It's not, I'll go back. And I mentioned my original book was to inspire people to foster. We'll see if it inspires people to foster. But I guess maybe that reality of understanding what you're getting into is helpful for people to frame it and then to seek the help that they may need in that part about letting go. If letting go is the hard part for you, there are plenty of resources, especially many of the rescues are there. Yeah. Have your foster mentor there to help you get through that grief process. And for the most part, it is a happy letting go to know that you're a matchmaker. Yesterday was at a fundraiser and the woman who just adopted Snickers and Midnight, these two cats that I had for almost 8 months, it was hard to let them go. I get weekly updates from her.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, that warms my heart to know that they've gone on to a good place. And now I've got another cat, Nor, who's going to be a long-term resident.
And spell Nor because it's an unusual spelling.
It's N-O-U-R. She came from, of all places, she came from Cairo, Egypt.
Nice.
And as my friend Lori would say to me, when you teach your kids to care, you have to be prepared for them caring. So Mia has now gone on to become a veterinarian. And she spent a month in Cairo working with a rescue and a rescue that works with a veterinary clinic.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nor was, she's 2 years old, but spent a year and a half with them living in the veterinary clinic.
Wow.
Just very different circumstances. And most of their adoptions through the rescue happen internationally rather than locally.
So what about your daughter, Anna? Anna? I don't know the right
Anna.
Word. Anna. So she was 14 when you brought Poet to your, what's up with Anna now?
She now lives in North Dakota with a farmer. So they have a big farm, which is perfect for her because she has equines, she has a couple horses and a donkey, rescue donkey. And then her menagerie includes two cats, a dog.
Okay. So raising teenagers and trying to be a foster mom, and we got to do, obviously, a shout out to your hubby. You want to say hi to him? Because he might be listening to this episode.
He's a quiet guy. I'll say hello, Joe, but he's a quiet guy.
Okay, so, you know, can you give some tips to parents that have kids when you want to include fostering of dogs or cats or both in the household? What can you share, like 3 tips? Because, you know, that might help people tuning in.
I would say frame it right off the bat that these are not your resident pets, that your goal is to get them into a new home so that it opens space in your home for the next dog or cat in need. Or donkey, or rabbit, guinea pig, gerbil.
Partridge and a pear tree.
And so that's number one, is just frame the...
I like that.
Our goal here is to get them adopted out so we can continue fostering and not keep them. I would say number two is this is a family activity. It will probably fall to a parent in terms of being the project manager to make sure the animals are fed and consistently taken care of. But more than anything, it's getting the kids involved.
Yeah.
It's the animal transition into the family and know that they're all equal in terms of expectation. They'll get fed. They're going to get their enrichment through all of the family and not worrying about somebody off in the corner. So this is now a family activity if you bring that animal into your home and just have fun. It really is fun. We've had every animal comes in with different personalities. Find out what their personality is. Are they poet of all the crazy things that this little 10-pound poet loved to run circles in the backyard?
I do too. It's a good aerobic exercise. I get dizzy sometimes, but...
So he was our circle runner. Shiloh, when I first got Shiloh, the dog that became our foster success.
Thank you.
She went out to a home. She was gone for 4 years after fostering, and they needed to rehome her.
Oh, my gosh.
Medical issues. She was our dog that would stand at the stairs, roll the ball down, run down, pick up the ball, bark, roll it down again, and loved to do that over and over. Frankie, the guy that's on our cover of Mom Loves the Dogs More, he's probably a Shih Tzu mix of something.
Oh, you got to say it like this. You know it. Ready? Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu. I can't remember that. He turned out he loved to swim. The craziest thing, he'd get in the water and he was chasing ducks and sticks. And it didn't matter that he was in 10 feet of water. He just went around paddling. I bet he would have been a great dock dog.
Yeah. So how do you juggle mom, being a mom and being a foster mom, so that kids don't feel slighted and you got the wonderful teenage years? Do you have any insight into that maybe you learned the hard way?
That's a really good question. I would say that in the end, for all that we went through, and we didn't even get to that part of what we ended up finding through all this fostering, and that going back to when I was saying there was something in the stress and the tsunami of emotions, we later found out that both girls were diagnosed with ADHD opposite ends of the spectrum. One was hyperactive, one was inattentive. So we needed to manage all of that. But the beauty of fostering in the end is it was caring for the dogs that kept us together. There were so many things that wanted to pull us apart. Just teenage years, kids growing up, becoming independent. And then you throw in mental health challenges, their own desire to be their own people. It was tough, but they both had anxiety. So managing all that, working with their counselors, working with school, working with medications. But we always had this thing to come back to, which was the dogs. Now, not one of them ever helped me when it came to moving a dog on and taking a dog to visit with their new family. That was the part I had to learn. I'm going to do this for yourself.
Okay. They couldn't. That's tough for them.
Saying goodbye was hard.
I'm glad that you brought that up because it is, you know, you're trying to help this pet get a permanent home, but the pet has left a imprint on all of you. But I love that, you know, I'm wondering, some of these dogs, did they help Anna and Mia a little bit sometimes, that something that a mom couldn't do, but a dog could?
Oh, absolutely. You have a lot of guests on your show that deal with pet behaviors and training. All of our dogs were perfectly trainable to sit if somebody came to the door. But our kids would come home from school, put that backpack down, lay down on the floor, and let all the dogs and cats jump on them, lick them, do everything. I got to the point, that is their thing. That is their happy spot. So the animals were the place where they could be their own. Anna would take out the big dogs and they'd go walk for miles. Mia would lay with them, tuck to their hips. They were supposed to be crated at night. They would take them out of the crates and snuggle with them. And it was exactly what I wanted a dog to do, which is to be that friend that a parent And it, sometimes our own friends can't be. Just they love us unconditionally. And having that being that will connect with them without any strings attached was just a fabulous thing for them to have all these different pets in the house.
Well, we have just a few minutes left. So how can people get their paws on your book? Mom Loves the Dogs More. How can they follow you? Author to author, you got to speak up. Speak, speak!
Absolutely. My website is cindyowrights.com, which should be easy enough for most people to navigate.
It's a good site. I saw it.
And then from there, you can get to the book. You can get to my Substack newsletter, which is like People Like Pets, and that I explore how we mirror each other and how we enhance each other's lives through just being who we are and who pets are. That's one easy way.
Well, from Dog Sierra, Frankie, Poet, Kitty Snickers, Midnight, and oh, you never forget a foster, do you?
I don't. It's interesting. My kids now are starting to forget who does what when in the middle of it's time for adoption. We can't let them go. I love them. They're my best friend. And then you move on because you know they've gone somewhere happy. So you can let that go and move on to the next one. Me, on the other hand, I'm holding all these stories to my heart.
Well, and you're sharing them and we need to hear your story. So I do applaud you because this is a real reality check. You're peeling back the onion of what it's like to truly have fosters in your home. And I think I haven't seen that before. So I really applaud you for that. Last question. How have foster dogs and cats made you, Cindy Ocheck, a better human?
Oh, where do we begin? How much time did you say we have?
I got to kind of catch for my next birthday's coming up in 6 days. So just kind of close it up before then. Just teasing. So seriously, what's some?
It makes me step up and see them for their individuality. When you read the story is equal parts family and kids, equal parts dogs. But when you put it all together, it's really about stepping back so that if you're interacting with another living being, are you seeing them for who they are and providing them what they need?
And I like that.
That's really, it is about love, but it's about seeing and giving them what they need, interacting with them in the way they want in order to bring that joy. And when they're happy, wow, it's when you take these dogs that come in that are scared and their whole
confused.
Life, you know, ended and abused. Some of them have just, their owners couldn't take care of them anymore, or the owners went on to assisted living or a nursing home. They're all scared. They're all, and you know, just, you know what it's like as a person to be in a new situation, and you know what your kids are facing. It helps you be more empathetic towards animals, towards people, knowing that you have no idea really what's going on behind them. But if you step back and you see them for who they are and then work within that framework, it makes life a lot easier and a much better relationship.
I agree. 19 days ago, we brought Nova into our home. She is a 23-pound brown dog, and she's 3-4 years old, comes from a shelter. I'm going to do a shout out to Eastlake Pet Orphanage. And I told my spouse every day, the goal is to make Nova feel safe. Once Nova feels safe, we're going to see her personality, and we're seeing it. And it is a nice evolution. It's humanity for a four-legger. You know?
Exactly.
So, hey, everybody, I have been honored to have on our show Cindy Ocheck. Yep, not the hockey player, the author and foster superstar of pets from St. Paul, Minnesota. Again, go to cindyowrights.com. At this time, too, I need to do a shout out. I don't need to. I want to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the largest pet radio network on the planet. And humbly, you are tuned in to the longest running weekly pet podcast. Oh Behave has been on the air since 07. So what do I do when I'm not behind the mic? Well, my mission is to help you save pets' lives. I'm a master instructor in pet first aid and CPR. I team up with pet safety dog Kona, pet safety cat Casey, and teach vet-approved courses, different levels, short courses, interactive Zoom, self-paced, even 2-day instructor programs to become an instructor. Please check me out at petfirstaid.com. for you. Until next time, it's your flea free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Obehave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.